my God. Happy fucking happy hour. It's Greg fucking Proops in my house, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everybody.
Whose line is it anyway? Is it mine or is it yours? Oh, that was a Greg Proops, listen to me very carefully. First of all, there's my best friend, Rob Reichman.
Yes.
Who is your other number one fan, who I just said, you got to come in, sit in with us. Because Trish, his other half over there, he wakes her up like every night laughing at your podcast, The Smartest Man in the World.
Well, how serendipitous that we could all conjoin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an unabashed fanboy.
Thank you.
You need to get up into the microphone.
I'm an unabashed acceptor of compliments. Okay. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, no, it's yeah, no. I'm always like, thank
please.
You.
You're like, please, more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People are like, I bet people tell you this all the time, you're really good. I'm like, they don't actually tell me it enough.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I have a manager, he never says it.
Listen, I I don't know, what's happening?
I don't know.
Rob is flaccid.
He's security, there's a guy stealing a mic.
Sibilance. <Okay. laughs>
So, I used to see you 1,000 years ago. I'm sure I'm one of a million people that told you, I discovered you. Because I was back at Largo or whatever the fuck I was, and like I'm like, that's the funniest human on the planet. We all just need to stop trying now.
Aww. And remember the old Largo? Wasn't that fun?
Yes, and then when Whose Line came up, I'm like, whatever, Proops come latelys. I've known about him.
Sometimes the Proops do come lately. Largo was a magnificent. The one on Fairfax was a real clubhouse. And what a scene. I mean, the one on Los Angeles is fabulous.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have the same feel that the old one did.
You are just out of your mind, and I mean that in such a good way.
How kind of you.
I've been listening to the podcast, and Rob, I don't know about you, but I don't even know where that shit, half of it comes from. I was like, what sort of portion of your brain does these things, like, just the stuff you do with the gifts people bring you.
Oh, my God.
Is it like a right.
The gifts are so much fun. In Scotland, it was Tablet, which is just pure sugar. And cut into
squares.
Yes, cut
I listened to
squares.
That one.
Yeah. And then caramel vodka, which I would never drink under any circumstances, except I was doing a show, so I guzzled it down and dropped it behind my ears. People tend to give me weed and vodka. The record for vodka, though, surprisingly, you would think it'd be London or Scotland or the Scandinavian countries where vodka is very popular. Kansas City, I played there 3 weeks ago. Kansas City, Missouri. 7 bottles.
Right.
I gave everyone on the crew a bottle of vodka. I was the most popular comic that ever played there.
I emailed you to see what you drank, and before I even did, Rob and Trisha both said, vodka, get him vodka. Get him vodka right away. Doesn't care what kind.
No, I'm pretty slutty about that.
You're vodka slut.
Do it come in a bottle is my only question. Can I break a government seal? So, yeah, sometimes they give us a lot of vodka. And they give you vodka on the night that you're flying the next day, which, of course, you know. So I make sound people very happy. Anyone who works my sound usually gets a delightful bottle of artisanal. That was the other thing.
I bet there's hardly ever an audio glitch.
No. I give it to them after. I get to drink during.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, so, the gifts are astounding.
Wow.
I mean, you know, Stephanie, you're a broadcaster. You're a personality. You've been around a while. When people follow you, you're theirs. You know what I mean? Like, you belong to them. And that's been
you're
the most profound part of it. Exactly. Yeah. The whole part of the thing is that I'm my crowd's bitch, and they want me to do certain things, and they know that I like certain things, and they bring them to the show. And I'm fortunate because I talk about literature and poetry and stuff. People bring me tons of books.
Wow.
Which are, of course, the heaviest thing to take home.
You're like the redneck comedy tour, but for smart people that read books.
Exactly.
Like, different.
I'm like, get it done.
Like a mauve collar. No, I know. I know you're very smart. You're very political.
I
hear you're a Hillary guy.
I'm a huge
Hillary guy. You're a feminist.
Cut.
Me too.
I know. I love that about you. I was looking at your tweets.
Oh, we're going to take some shit from the Bernie people after
this. I know. You know what? I love my Bernie brothers and sisters. They just need to calm down. That's all. We all need to calm down. What did I say the other night? Rome is burning. Put down your fiddlesticks. Rome is burning. The one thing you don't want is Trump or Cruz.
Right. I used to love in the beginning of Obama's presidency that thing of him going like this, and everybody's calm the fuck down. I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right? Everybody was. Yeah.
Well, isn't that the best part of his? I mean, other than he's done a very good job considering what he came into, is that he's calm. And then you see these people on stage screaming at one another.
Right.
And you're like, you're not ready for this.
Right.
There's even really? W do didn't you, scream.
Do you think Trump has some sort of anger management difficulty that might?
Trump is one of those self-empowered, you know, millionaire kids that is just bloviating every moment. And I think I said it on the show a couple weeks ago. When people compare him to Hitler, I said, but Hitler wasn't winging it.
Hitler had a plan.
He had a plan. Like, Trump just wings it. You can see it. Any question they ask him, what about the Middle East? Well, we're going to do a thing in the Middle East, and it's going to be the best thing. We're going to knock the hell out of them, and we're going to win, because America never wins. Like, that's not an answer. That's
whatever
a lot
you say
of
about Hitler. He had camps, trains. You know, he had some shit going.
Honey, everything ran like clockwork.
You know,
yeah, bureaucracy. When you're telling me you're going to get away, do away with bureaucracy, and right. then have a big government that right. does all these things, like he's always boosting the military, and he's always attacking it and knocking the crap out of people.
Right. It's going to be huge. There's going to be so much winning, Greg. Your head's going to spin.
My head's going to spin.
The military's going to be huge. It's going to be winning. There's going to be your head's going to be spinning. Your nipple tassels will be rotating.
Yeah. Oh no. My
your
feathers
dick will fall
be,
off.
Yeah.
There'll be so much.
By the way, is he not aware that the military gets all the money now? The reason why no one has any money and roads are terrible right. and I have to wait 2 hours in line at the post office is because the military has all the money.
I'm not sure what to...
And it's not the yeah. troops that have it. It's the people who sell them things, my
yeah.
goodness.
But that's like as specific as he gets. That way it was so hilarious on the abortion question. He had five different God. Positions that's in like... in like 2 days.
Oh yeah, it yeah. was grand. And then he doubled down yeah. and said his answer was awesome. Was it or he
oh, yeah, it was
he
awesome.
Characterized his uh-huh. answer, which was fantastic because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. his answer was completely incoherent. And if you remember a month ago in the debate, he went, "Planned Parenthood does a lot of good things." Like, so are you Noam Chomsky or who are
yes,
you?
Who are you?
You're crazy.
No, listen, there was the one debate where he was talking about Bush lied about weapons of mass
yes,
destruction.
He was Noam
9/11
Chomsky.
Happened on his watch. I'm like, if he throws in the Hague, I'm fucking Trump.
Yes.
I fuck you, Hillary. I'm Trump.
I know. That speech really blew my mind because I was like, he's absolutely right about that. And yeah. no Republicans ever had the gonads to say it.
Yeah.
To just
in
say
South
it.
Carolina to like Bush Republicans. That was
yeah.
right.
He was a disaster. It was a mistake. It shouldn't have been done. And it's his biggest failure. And like, wow. Okay. We've been
all
saying
right.
that for 100 years
all
now.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah. now you see a crazy Republican. Well,
yeah.
Johnny come lately Republican.
Yeah, he's not. I know he has no core beliefs except
oh,
Trump.
No.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Except that he is apparently awesome.
Oh, he is most awesome, and so is his whole family. I'm almost certain they're going to cockblock him, right? I mean, it's close enough.
But they might actually hate Cruz more, which is hilarious.
They do. I think the people in Congress, in the Senate, dislike him.
Yes,
frankly,
you,
if I had to pick, I would pick Trump.
He's
and
got
that's
booed off the floor
say.
Of the Senate. Yes, for some you know, procedural thing that any senator gets his deference, and they're like, "Fuck you, you dick shit! Get up, get up!"
He went to New York today and tried to do some rally, and a bunch of kids in the Bronx fronted him.
Yes, yes,
because
yes.
he said New York values, and they're like, "Bug off!"
Yeah, yeah.
Can't you see we're all immigrant family children? Like
yeah,
you are
fucking New York
asshole.
Values, right? Oh, but he clarified. He said, "No, I meant the liberal ones."
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Not the conservative.
Not, no.
Man? What?
He couldn't have picked a worse place to go in New York City than the Bronx.
Yep.
Didn't he see Bonfire of the Vanities? What
right.
the fuck?
Right. That's where you're going to get in a terrible accident and have to have a lawsuit.
I think I might be lost. Yeah. Honey, where are we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Much respect to the Bronx. I went to high school there. So
yeah.
No, we love
sure.
it.
Bronx science?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. New York. He's New York. Yeah, wait, you were born in Phoenix, but you grew up outside of San Francisco.
I did, yes. Yeah. I only lived in Phoenix for a short time. I was but a child, and I don't remember it. And but I go back to Phoenix occasionally. Yeah, I'm from the Bay Area. I grew up in San Carlos, white principality south of San Francisco.
I've always been trying to identify what your accent is, except that just
California.
It's funny. Okay, it is a little Spicoli, a little
We're
a
in
little
the Bay Area,
Reeves.
We say San Jose. That's how you distinguish a Bay Area accent. Hella, right, is a big adjective for us. And we don't say San Jose or Santa Cruz. We say San Jose and Santa Cruz. And we cannot pronounce the word quarter. The word quarter is quarter. C-O-R-D-E-R. That's a Bay Area accent. Quarter.
So were you always...
You got a quarter? Yeah, I'm going to San Jose.
Were you always a funny little motherfucker?
I was. I was always outside.
Parents, kids, what's your whole deal? Tell
yeah,
us everything.
I spent the whole time outside in grade school. I would act out behind the teacher when they would read A Wrinkle in Time. And so I got the drift early on that people weren't intellectual in school. And
right.
that knowing the answer wasn't a cool thing to do. That took it till about third or fourth grade when I realized that wasn't going to happen anymore. And then... Then you finally, you get to rally a little bit in high school, I think,
yeah.
because you get to be more of an individual.
Wait, siblings, yes?
I have a sister, but she's 7 years older than me, so she was well out of high school by the time I chased her across the plate.
right.
And my other sister is like 15 years older than me, and my other brother's like 17 years older than me.
Yeah, my sisters are 15 and 18 years older
than me. Right, so they were adults, basically, when we were children.
Yeah.
They were,
yeah.
My I think my brother was in the Navy when I was born, you know?
That's what they said, anyway.
So we have those strung out families that are so, you
right,
know.
Right, right. And what did your mom and dad do?
My dad gambled a lot. Okay. And my mother worked furiously.
Okay. She was a waitress. Keep up for your dad's gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People think I'm from some highfalutin thing because I use big words and read and stuff, but I'm from a blue collar family in the Bay Area. I wouldn't say we were poor or anything like that. I'm not going right. to overemphasize it that I fought on the streets with knuckle dusters or whatever, but I had a bike like everyone else, but I grew up in an apartment building and my parents were, you know, waiters and bartenders.
Middle class, whatever, yeah. What? So where do you come by your feminism?
My father was a screaming misogynist, and I think that's what started me on the road to it. I could never understand where his misogyny came from because all the women in his life had done nothing but be kind to him. And my grandmother and my aunt and everybody, and so I never really understood, and my mother and my sister, why he was so diehard in that area. And it really rubbed me the wrong way always, and I was always like, what's the problem, you know?
Yeah. You're freaking dull, Dad.
Yeah. And then
you said your Spicoli accent.
Exactly. Then I when I married my wife, she basically educated me to everything that, you know, was going on. And so she's been the biggest influence.
Your lovely wife, Jennifer, since 1990.
And she's opened my eyes to everything, to, you know, feminism and everything. So really that's the thrust of the show now, I think. And as a comedian anymore, I don't care being painted with that brush. I don't understand why people are embarrassed to say they're a feminist or whatever. It only means that you think that both sexes should have some sort of equality.
Yeah. It's well, you're very sort of secure. Horrible. You're probably hung like a fucking ocelot.
No. My body's horrible, but I have an enormous wand. So thank you for asking, Stephanie.
I just sensed it.
Yeah.
I sensed it in your security.
Oh, I'm confident. Yeah.
In your manhood.
Yeah. But, well, my wife is gorgeous. I mean, I'm well out of my league. Yeah.
And why not?
And way smarter than me, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's going to be interesting, this whole, if it's Hillary, particularly against Trump, right?
Yeah.
I look forward to that debate.
The misogyny.
Right? Just
his
like,
misogyny.
Hey, look who's putting the cunt back in country.
Yeah, right, right.
Right? I mean, seriously, how much?
Oh, you know he's going to do that. He's putting the twat back in Twitter. He's, I mean, Megyn Kelly tweeted the other day that she wished this would stop and that it had never started. Right. Like, she's up against the wall, that poor woman, you know?
I know.
And I'm not a huge Megyn Kelly fan, but I don't hate her for being a woman.
Right, for bleeding.
Yeah, you know? And like, he just has a...
Yeah.
You know, he's plays to the grandstand so hard, and I think that's, I'm hoping that's his undoing, right?
Right, right.
The reality is, most people, and I love to, let's just generalize.
Okay, let's.
And are reasonable. And say 15-20% are wild misogynist racist assholes.
Right.
And that's what he's playing to.
Right.
I hope so,
because when you watch those rallies, he just says whatever he's thinking. I'm like, I fucking hope not, because
it's
awful.
It is what they're thinking. If I saw a good-looking person at one of his rallies, I would be on his team in a minute. But there just never is. It's like Christianity. They're always so ugly and poorly dressed with bad hair and bad glasses.
Don't you have access
to the same stores we do?
They ain't good as us.
Yeah.
Them black ones.
I think I'm better than them because I comb my hair.
The homos.
And I don't wear a t-shirt in public. But the Trump people, yeah. There's a lot of middle-aged guys with ball caps who look like they love Jimmy Buffett and their ex-wife's a bitch because she has a restraining order. And that's what I get.
Bitch.
That's the vibe I get. I mean, other people have their reasons, you know. What I love is reading all the punditry and listening to the pundits on TV pontificate about why they think blue-collar people think the things they think.
Right.
When they have never done their own laundry or picked up their own mail or do any – they have an assistant, which is like, you suck, okay?
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, there's a lot of anger out there. It's like, there's no money, you guys, and nothing works anymore.
Yeah. I had that for a second when I had the late-night TV show.
Yeah.
And then it's like fucking reverse Cinderella. They take the clothes back.
Yeah.
Goddamn assistant and the
isn't it the carriage rides away
the shoes like I was like Cinderella.
But I
had one
those.
Fucking shoe left. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I wanted those. Can I have that? All those lovely skirt, you know, blazer combos they gave you, and,
right?
Yeah, no,
nothing. I got nothing. Poof.
No, and then your name's not on your space anymore. And when you come to the lot, they're like, "I'm sorry, Miss Miller."
No, yeah, it was at Paramount, and I remember I went back to audition to be the fourth wacky neighbor.
Right.
On some sitcom on UPN or fucking something. And so I was in the line and they were doing the tour and some people recognized me. They were like, oh my God, that's Stephanie Miller. I'm shut the fuck up. And we're just moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta read my sides. Just fuck off.
Right. I'm in the line like everybody else, okay? No, they never let you in. But then they never let Judy Garland in after she left MGM. So this town's the cruelest
this town.
Town
sucks. So, whose line it is anyway? That was, must have been an amazing time.
Well, it still is. We're shooting tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, you are? Okay,
sorry. To be at the set at 1 o'clock. And,
ooh.
Yeah. And then we shoot at 6. Don't ask. And yeah, no, we're still going. We're in our fourth year on the CW. Aisha Tyler's the host now.
She was just on yesterday. Course, she's my friend from the Sexy Liberal Tour. She has 17,000 jobs. I'm very, very happy for her.
Oh, my God. She's on every TV show. She's on every cartoon. She's on every or animated series. I said cartoon.
Archer. That's right.
And then she's on the chat, the talk.
The talk.
The talk. And the chat.
The chat, the jaw, the and, something.
So this is our fourth year. And I started on it. Oh, golly. 26 years ago, I was 11.
Wow. No, you were not 11.
I was 2.
No, you were not, Greg Proops.
I was a prodigy.
Where do you come by your pseudonyms, the Proop Dog and the Proopster?
That's from San Francisco. Oh, okay. I had a lot of nicknames up there, and because I lived there for like 16 years and was a comic there. And Johnny Steele, who's a comic up there and a very funny cat, used to call me Proopadopolis, the Proop Monkey, Proop Dog. So I took a lot of them with me. The Proop Kitten.
I was just going to say, because I got a little chill up my spine when you said, I like vodka, see you later, kittens. And I was like, yeah. He called me kittens.
Well, kittens started because I was trying not to swear. And I did a kid show on Nickelodeon on the Paramount lot.
Right.
And stage 25 and 26. And
yes.
They would have me say kittens on the show. I was everyone on the show is a wild success now. They were all teenagers when I worked with them, but they're all on different shows now. Kiki Palmer, who was in the live version of Grease that was on telly, and she was the lead, and it was called True Jackson VP. And they would give me lines where I would say kittens, and I thought, oh, I'm taking that. And so when I started doing the podcast, I swear too much anyway. It's very sweary, as they say in England. And
you really fucking not sworn enough on this podcast, if I might say.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of fucking swearing.
Okay, and, good.
I'm Garen motherfucking goddamn
okay.
to you.
There's all right,
a lot of fucking,
swearing. Good, motherfucker.
Yeah. And I always use cock as an adverb too, which is confusing at best. And so kittens came out of that. And then we bought a cardboard cat, as I was explaining before the show, a couple of years ago at a Christmas market in London. And I started talking to the cat on stage, and that became Kittens McTavish. And then, so there's a whole Kittens McTavish thing and the stickers and whatnot. And, and the people love kittens.
And I know no kids, but you have said that you have ocelots.
That's right. Just to see
which is why I said you were hung like an ocelot, just to see if I could get a rise out of you, so to speak.
Ocelots are wildly well endowed. It's a well-known fact in Central America. Not so well known in this studio.
people believed you that you have ocelots instead of...
Yeah, they do. People believe anything.
Right.
You've seen the election. People really believe anything. Even, especially with the internet, where you can check anything, people still believe anything.
Right.
And I love that about the internet.
What... Now, what was your choice not to have children and to have the imaginary ocelots instead?
Well, I mean, it was really Jennifer's choice, but I went along with it from the very beginning. There was never any discussion about having children at any point, so we're just that couple. We're the couple that has lots of free time and travels lots of places. And then, of course, all your friends with children go like, you don't know what it's like. You know, your life really changes. And you're like, oh, you become a big judgmental drag? Is that what happens? you're angry that I get to do what I like and have discretionary income to buy weed with and shit like that? That I don't have to buy orthodonture for some squalling fucking kid or whatever? Is that what's angering you, Pookie? Because that's
I bet that Pookie pisses them off the most at the end.
It is.
You didn't really have to punctuate it with that.
You know what people with kids are like? Oh, I never get any sleep. And I remember giving my friend a book years ago. He has 3 kids. And I gave him a book and he went, I don't have time to read. And I was like, really?
Are you proud of that?
Yeah. Like, really? And then I have another friend with 3 children. And of course, he reads all the time. So like, really? Like, don't give me that you don't have time to read. Yeah. You're just not reading. And you're using having 3 children as an excuse to become completely pass out drunk on wine after they go to sleep. Am I wrong or am I right?
No.
I'm
you
fucking
are right.
Right,
you're
and
right.
You know I am.
You are right.
I'm all for children. I adore children. They're nature's gentlemen. I have
they're
nothing
the future.
Against children.
They're the future, I'm told.
And they're small demons. It's the people who raise them.
Right.
That's what I take exception to.
I got a Bernie person today who said, you fucking, because you don't, if you had kids, you would care about the future.
And
like, I do. What?
You're a woman, and you didn't fulfill your genetic destiny.
No, we did not, and that, thank God for that.
Boo! that really drives me crazy. That women don't have agency over their own bodies, and that people feel like they have to have children is like you've got to be kidding. Right. And I had a comic say to me years ago. He had 2 kids at the time, and of course, I worked with him recently. Divorced, barely sees the ex-wife,
right.
the usual. Mm-hmm. And I go, how are your kids? And he's, oh, well, one's in college and one's doing this and this and that. I didn't want to say to him, do you remember the night you said to me, it's our biological imperative and that's why we're put on Earth? Because now you work in Vegas and you tell, and you're mad.
Oh, you snorted. I like
your
that.
Your daughters I resent snort. You. I snort. I snort in my own humor. It's horrible.
That's so great. My dad used to snort. I like that.
Well, anyway, like yeah. I like children, and I don't dislike people who have children. I totally get it. Everyone has kids.
Yeah.
And when you go to America, which means like 30 miles right. east of L.A. or anywhere else in the Midwest or whatnot, and you do,
right.
You meet someone and they're 28 years old. If you meet a woman right. who's a young woman in yeah. America, they will have two kids.
Right, right. Oh,
that did you get
be,
that?
That could be food. Thank you. All right. Probably not, but all right.
They always have children. Everyone has
yeah,
children.
Yeah.
So I understand that. It's just it wasn't my choice, and I don't want to be slammed for being selfish.
Yes.
I don't think it's selfish.
Well, actually, I know our friend Jen Kirkman, who did this podcast a couple weeks ago. But I love how she talks about calling her, you know, married friends with, you know, with kids. And she's like, I have stage 9 cancer. Oh, that's too bad. Billy, stop it. Put that down. Like, you can't get there fucking until, no matter what you have.
You have stage 9
problem
cancer.
Is. Right.
Blossom had a recital last night and my phone didn't have any batteries in it and I couldn't video.
Yeah. You're just like, do you understand those two things aren't this? Yeah. All right. Whatever.
No. Okay. Nothing's commensurate. When people yeah. have children, they elevate themselves to this bizarre moral high ground
right.
where their lives and their children's lives right. mean more than yours do to the yeah. universe.
No, God bless him. My friend, he showed me a picture of his little girl sucking an icicle. There's just something that they think everything they do is so fucking cute.
Right.
I was like, wow, well, that's a little girl sucking on an icicle.
Right.
Yeah, nobody Which, wants to see that.
Well, people in Japan. But the thing
is that cute? I guess.
My joke is always, I love my shoes, but I don't talk about them all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, they're brand new. They're so young, but look what they do. Oh, my God. They're
oh my
so
God, look well, at it.
They look sexy, and people love them.
Let's By the way, speaking of kids, did you see the clip from, what is it, Rich and Famous with Donald Trump with Marla Maples? Was that his second wife?
Yeah, I remember
and
Marla.
Talking
the
about
shoe
their
fetish, because she had the guy stalk her. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. They were talking about their one-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And they said, is it more like you? Or Robin Leach says, is it more like you or Marla? And he said, oh, well, you know, beautiful, like Marla, long legs, but, you know, we don't know yet if she has. And he literally went like this. Like big tits. We don't know. If
so Trump was talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, like this. We don't know if they. Will, but we'll find out. I was like, "That's okay. That's your baby. You're talking about. Like we don't know if she has big tits yet, but okay. That's
Gross.
Fucking.
Well, didn't he say he would? He would have tried to get over on his daughter.
Oh yeah.
If she hadn't been his daughter, he'd have tried to get her.
She's a great body. She wasn't my daughter.
Can I just say?
Tap that.
Two words. Gross.
Just right.
I mean, wow.
Splat.
If you're under 18 and you're dating someone under 18, then that's all good.
Yeah, it's
if
all
you're
good.
16 and they're 15,
right.
whatever.
Right.
We were all in high school. After that, no.
Right.
It's over. It's over. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it up.
No. Nope.
Let's not get into it. It's creepy. It's pervy. And it's wrong.
Right.
And when you're running for president, gross. And I know half of it is. The other night, I was watching Chris Hayes, is
right,
it, or
right.
Chris Matthews? It was the one who screams more. Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews,
yeah.
right.
Yeah. I don't need to tell it, Stephanie!
Speaking of that, was my favorite moment of sexism. He actually interrupted a Hillary speech to say that she yells too much.
Yeah!
And interrupts too much. That's
and
fantastic.
He's the yelliest.
Fantastic.
No one...
Hillary, why can't you moderate her tone of voice?
And he interrupts his guests and he... And
yes.
He oh, my God. So they... Because it's news and they'll play anything Trump does. They'll even play phone calls, which
right.
drives me crazy.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
they'll play a
in.
Phone call from Trump. They don't play phone calls. I said, when was the last time you saw a phone call on the air from a Gemini astronaut or someone trapped right. in Afghanistan?
Right, something.
Or the last two times someone was on a phone, right? But they'll play Trump's phone calls. Ivanka came on first and she was whipping the crowd into a tizzy. And then they brought him on and then they went live with it. And that on CNN and MSNBC. They
right.
showed that for 10 minutes. And I
right.
was like, this isn't news. This is a rally.
And then
he has
press conferences. Like, he's a sitting president.
Yeah.
And they covered, oh, we have breaking news coming. I'm like, what the fuck?
He saved network.
He's some reality show clown. What?
Right. He saved news television, I think, is what's going on, right?
Yeah.
He
yeah.
saved it because all of a sudden people are watching it again.
Right. Right. And you're like, oh, what's the breaking news? Oh, you're huge. There's going to be a lot of winning. Oh, is that?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's
more
new.
Winning.
That's new. Okay.
Well, and his speech was, you know, the same old. And then. But the big at the bottom, what do they call it? The slug or the
scroll.
Bottom third,
scroll.
The scroll.
Yeah, Chiron.
It said, it's the first time he spoke since he got beat in Wisconsin. And it's like, so? He speaks every second.
The golf announcer, he is, this is the first time he is.
Oh, my God.
He's a reality show that I hope doesn't get picked up.
Now, let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
Do you think that he really wants to be president, or is there another bizarre financial endgame that we're not hip to yet?
Well,
or that
Rick Overton has speculated that some
There's
point he will pull off the mask and he will be Andy Kaufman. He'll be like, thank you very much. And we'll be like, you fucking got us. That was fucking good.
Oh, my God.
I think it's got to be the latter because he's so ill-prepared.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't want that job. There's no way.
How do you send him into a meeting with a world leader?
Yeah.
How do you send him into a meeting with Xi?
He's
going to
fucking bomb Lithuania because they said something about his fingers or something, right?
Yeah.
Just, all right, well.
I mean, he can't conduct a meeting with someone from China or Russia who's got all the cards and knows what they're talking about and was a member of the secret police and is a badass. And, like, Hillary has all the information in their possession when they walk into the room.
Right.
And look into your eyes. Like, I mean, W was overmatched when he met with Putin. Remember, he said, I looked into his eyes and knew I could trust him.
Right.
But Trump will start a fight with him and then probably get up and, like, try to, you know, and
right.
you're like, no, that's not.
No, he's been having a little bromance with Putin, actually, which is even more disturbing.
Because Putin said he liked him.
Yeah. Anyone that says he likes him, he's like, I like them. They have very good taste.
Right. And that was his other Noam Chomsky moment, and I want everyone to see this on camera.
Yes.
His other Noam Chomsky moment was that.
Greg Proops is pouring more vodka.
Someone interviewed him, and they said.
he's drinking from the bottle now. Greg Proops is spiraling downward,
they said,
everybody.
Putin is a dictator. He goes, Putin, you know, we're friends, and he likes me, and blah, 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 blah. And I can't remember who was interviewing him. Went, Putin's a dictator, and he kills people.
Right.
And Trump went, we kill people every day.
Right. Like, he was like, you're saying that like it's a bad thing?
That's a
that he kills people?
Left wing answer to go, we kill people every day. We're
right.
America.
Right. Yes.
And I thought,
another Noam Chomsky moment.
Right. So how bizarre are you? On the one hand, you're embracing someone who you oughtn't put any closeness between you and and Putin. And on the other hand, you're making a giant point, which is that, predator drone people. What I love is that he keeps saying we're losing the war in the Middle East or whatever, the giant shitstorm that is the battle against ISIL. And we're not. We're using strategic bombing, and it's actually kind of working a little bit now. And there's no facts
drones,
in his possession, though.
Yeah. No, there is not. He doesn't know anything about anything. He has no court convictions of any kind.
Blonde women?
Yeah.
He probably knows.
Yes,
little,
yes.
Boats?
Didn't you love, by the way, speaking of Marla Maples, he once said about her, nice tits, no brains.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, you know what? That's going to go down in the pantheon of American presidents. We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah, right.
Ask not what you can do for your
country. Yeah, yeah. The better angels
nice
of our
tits.
Nature.
No brains.
Yeah. When in the course of human events, she has no tits.
Yes.
Exactly. Nice tits, I mean. But was it nice tits but no brains?
Greg, you have been, you know, listen, happily married, and I feel like we need to ask you some. Someone sent me some happy hour questions for you.
Please.
These are actual questions that were asked for on Yahoo.
On Yahoo?
Yahoo Answers.
Okay.
Yes.
Not
from,
ask
from
Jeeves.
Bill. From Bill. I spilled glow stick juice on my penis, and now it glows in the dark. I need help.
Oh, well, that's easy. Dip it in lacquer. That'll quell that immediately.
Right.
And you'll maintain that tumescence that you seem to crave so freely. And you'll think of how people will admire it. You can burnish it at night and whatnot. Birds can perch on it.
Right. Jesse asks, what would most likely happen if I stuck a curling iron up my butthole?
Oh, intense pain followed by almost orgiastic ecstasy.
Okay. Well, that's... thank you, Greg. Our friend Jim Ward always says that, the Yahoo comment section is populated almost entirely by Yahoos.
Yes. It's aptly named.
I can't go into the comment section anywhere anymore, right?
Me neither. My favorite one ever was years ago when Gaddafi was alive, before Hillary killed him with her magic powers.
Right.
And
her magic vaginal powers.
With her vaginal wizardry. And Gaddafi was addressing the UN. And we all remember that. He was invited to New York. He brought a retinue with him, all the sexy bodyguards that he had. Remember the girls who wore the green pants and everything? And
fantastic.
And they had
yeah.
the berets and everything.
Yeah. Austin Powers.
He had a suite at the, I can't remember which hotel in New York. And he'd set up tents inside the suite, which was super deluxe. And so he addressed the UN, and he was wearing one of his kicky outfits, like a gold one with like braids and whatnot, but not the one with the giant picture of his family, which I love when Gaddafi would wear an entire picture
of his family, like a
right. Sometimes in Africa,
like
there was
Hallmark
an Africa
portrait, yeah, but like, yeah.
Like right, like the, like a
right.
Flavor Flav never went as far as Gaddafi.
His clocks weren't as big, as,
right?
Yeah.
So he got up and he's speaking, and you know, he gave this big speech, and he said he loved Obama, if you recall, yes. In that speech. And my the first comment on YouTube, I remember going to look at it, and the first comment below was, "Who's this guy?"
You're like, crack a fucking book.
Okay? Who the fuck is this guy?
Who the fuck is this guy? Think he is. Yeah.
That's the comprehension level of a lot of people in this country, which is why I think we tend to run low on. For instance, maybe you don't agree, or maybe you do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been through a lot of elections.
Yeah.
The first one I voted for president was 1980.
Okay.
And this is the worst group of Republicans. I thought the 2012 group was the worst group, but this is the worst group.
My dad ran with Goldwater 64.
Oh, yes, 64.
Yeah. So, no, this
better,
is...
Better.
This,
yeah. They could both read. They could both write.
My dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. He was, you know...
Right. I'm from Phoenix. Barry Goldwater was the whole enchilada in Arizona in the 60s.
Very openly pro-gay rights, pro-choice on the Senate floor in the 80s.
Barry Goldwater did... Yeah. He evolved on a lot of positions because he was a sentient human being.
Yes.
Outside of Bomb Hanoi that year, as he got older, he became much more sage.
Right.
As did George Wallace, for goodness sake.
Right.
But these guys are playing some sort of... It's not 2016, it's 1620.
Right.
You know, like, it's,
right.
Women should be in stocks. Women kill babies.
And we don't mean the stock market.
No.
Yeah, no, we don't.
It's pretty wild to see all of them be ill-equipped, ill-informed, and have unsupportable opinions
right.
that play
but,
to...
But they built this, right? Everybody says,
totally
like, Donald Trump says he's every Republican after four drinks.
Yes.
You know? Or he's shouting what Republicans have been whispering for years. Mm-hmm. It's just the, you know, oh, you're not, even the pro-life, you're not supposed to say punish women. That's our policy, but you're not supposed to say
right.
that.
And he just said it.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, you can go back as far as you want. That's always really been, I don't know, you know, the thing that disappeared is that there was an intellectual wing of the Republican Party.
Right.
And that existed up till, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
And then it seems to have evaporated completely. They've excised it.
Yes.
And they've embraced the Duck Dynasty wing. And, you know, once upon a time there was Buckley Joe Pine. I'm reaching for that one. But you know what I mean. There were even George F. Willis from that old school, or Sapphire.
Right.
That old school where they've read the Bible, they've read history, but they're still staunch and they're still conservative, but they'll back it up with what they feel is their considered opinion that they've put together. Whereas Cruz and Rubio, Ben Carson was an absolutely shocking presidential candidate.
Oh, yeah.
As my friend Warren Thomas used to say, the brother with absolutely no chance of winning. Alan Keyes, there's been a few, Al Sharpton, there's been a few over the years, right? Like a dude who just comes out there and everyone's like, no, it's really not going to be
you. Carson's just like, I'm sorry, I just ate an entire tray of lasagna in my sleep and I can't, I don't, maybe I didn't say the right thing because.
Right. He's the lithium of.
Yeah, he's like the worst endorser ever because he keeps saying, I didn't really want Trump. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he just defended the guy that assaulted the female reporter,
mm-hmm.
who's being defended by the guy who bit a stripper. Did you know that? The lawyer that's
defending...
I did
not know that he bit a stripper.
Yes. The lawyer that's defending Donald Trump's campaign guy that assaulted the female reporter bit a stripper.
In his defense, Stephanie.
In a bad way?
Yes. Yes. In an assault
kind of
way.
Without being asked?
Okay. Strippers are delicious, Stephanie.
Do they taste like chicken, Greg?
Yes. I mean, do you remember Suarez in the last World Cup when he bit the Italian player? Italian players are delicious.
Manja.
Let's be honest.
Manja.
No one bit a Russian player. I'm just putting it that way. I don't mean
to
be racist, but they taste like pierogi.
There's a lot of
or pierogi if you're Russian.
There's a lot of things in your Wikipedia that I've zeroed in on. One is Proops appeared as an extra in the music video for the 1987 song Into the Night by Comet.
Ace Frehley's comment was a post-Kiss endeavor by Ace. And I was asked by a cat I was working with named David Rathod in San Francisco.
Right.
And it was hilarious. They go, 3 a.m. Is the call time. We're going to meet in the Tenderloin in San Francisco, which you've ever been to
Fantastic.
The Tenderloin. There's people who have, are in a wheelchair, wrong. Half their head's a sandwich. You know, like there's people with a beak. Like you're like, okay, this is the living end, right? It's like Fellini. Like this is it. This is the epicenter. And so we all met in, and there was a trailer thing. They had all these extras and they were all, you know, this is the 80s. It was all punky kids and, mm-hmm. and, people fucked up on speed and whatnot.
Right.
And, two poor put upon PAs trying to sort them out. So the theme of the video is, Ace Frehley's Comet walks through the Tenderloin and there's a prostitute and a homeless person and this and that. And as they walk by them, they, change into what it is they want to be. The prostitute's right. a pretty girl and the homeless person is fed and all those things. And I was a hustler with an Elvis rug and a fez, and I brought my own fez. I actually had a fez.
No need for wardrobe. I'm good.
Yeah, and the song was called Into the Night, and the lyrics go, oh, how they do what they do, just to get through into the night. And the moon rose in fast motion, and Ace, without his makeup,
right.
looked like 18 miles of bad turf,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Like a sheep's foot tamper had done a football
yeah.
field.
Yeah.
Like his face had been on fire and someone put it out with a bicycle chain. Real bad news bears, right? So he came into the trailer where I was hiding at the time and right. smoking with the right. Makeup lady.
Right.
And Ace came into the trailer and his hair was ratty. And he goes, and he had a New York accent, like Kiss, like all of Kiss talks like this, right? The all of them New York and they all... Well, Gene Simmons talked like this, but but Ace talked like this. Ace had it like this, and he came in and he goes, brush! Brush! And I went, what's he doing? And she turned to me and I went, I think he's asking for a brush. And he did not say, may I have a brush, or is there a brush on the premises?
He just yelled brush.
He just went, brush!
Right.
Brush! So she gave him one of those roundy ones.
Right.
And, you know, that you rat with.
Sure.
And he ratted his hair out.
Oh,
and then he fucked off and went back outside. I never spoke to him. I was near him and I did touch him during the video.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know why that's in the Wikipedia, but it was a wonderful evening in San Francisco.
When Rob and Trish and I are stuck in traffic here in LA, we sing. It sounds like you have a photographic memory for every song in the world as well.
Especially from those days.
Yeah. We do power ballads a lot, right?
Such as?
Yeah, like, you know, Nights and White
Satin. Every now and then I fall apart and I need you more than that.
Why were men so whiny in the 70s? That's what I want to
know.
Just so whiny.
It started with Bread.
Yes.
Oh, baby, I'm going to want you.
Baby, I'm going to need you.
Yeah. You're the only one.
What
did he say? Used to be my life was just emotion passing by. Emotion passing by.
Right, right, right.
How passive is that?
How about I would give up my life, my heart, my home.
Oh, yeah.
Just to have you. Back again. Okay, well, now you're going to be a fucking headless, like, dead, homeless. What the fuck? Why would I want you back now?
I don't have a heart, a home, nothing. But I want you back
again. What do you think?
Bread.
No?
First of all, they were called Bread, which is disappointing.
Yes. It was before the gluten-free movement.
They were so huge. I had a Seals and Crofts album.
I dry humped to Bread a lot with my
Did you really?
Initial boyfriends, yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's probably why I went gay. I was Summer like, you know what? I cannot dry hump with one more Catholic boy to a Bread song.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
I'm going to have to get some pussy.
What did you switch over to?
Pussy.
But, you know, Leon Haywood just passed yesterday. And do you remember, I'm going to do something freaky to you or whatever?
No, please do it.
Yeah. I want to do something freaky to you.
I remember.
Baby. Oh, baby. Ow. But people forget there were a lot of songs that had women panting in the 70s. Because in the middle of that song,
yes.
there's... But there was Jungle Fever by the Chicachos.
Yes.
Da-na-na-na.
How about Love to Love You?
Exactly.
Love to Love You.
And then the queen of all of them, Love to Love You, where they're screaming O's for like 8 minutes.
Right.
There was a lot of that in the 70s.
Yes.
But people think, oh, you're old and you don't remember that. And it's like, yeah, I do. And your music now blows.
Right.
Because at no point does Beyonce stop the song and go like this for 5 minutes.
Right.
But we did in the 70s.
Right.
We took time out of our schedule.
Remember some of the Prince lyrics were like, your face is slamming, your body's jamming, let's get to slamming.
Yeah, let's get to ramming.
Like, wow, smooth talker.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, Prince had a lot of lyrics. I want to fuck the taste out of your mouth, I believe,
is
in one of his songs.
Awesome.
I used to dance to that one.
That's so sweet. Merle Haggard never made a lot of use of that, did he?
No, but he drinks in a lot of his songs, and that I love about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he rhymes drank and think, which is fantastic.
And Okie and Muskogee.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He'll bend a rhyme like Ashford and Simpson, man. A rhyme.
I just feel like there were extra long, like, story songs in the 70s.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the reaction to that was the thing where you just repeated the one chorus over and over in reaction to, like, fucking Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, where you're like, right, way too much information, way too much long story in one fucking, right?
Yes.
But factually true.
That one went on forever. That one right? really went on. At one point in the song, the cook comes on deck and tells right. the guys
and then
goodbye.
Also, it's like a
too
fucking 8-year-old.
Feed you.
Yeah, it's too rough
it's like
to
an
feed
8-year-old.
Yeah.
Right, it's an 8-year-old telling a joke, right? You're like, Jesus Christ, is there an end to this?
And Leonard
lives
on
in the evening, and get your goomy.
Yeah, that's right, get your gammy.
And then also one time, they're like, Jesus, fuck, get to the end of this.
American Pie was 7 minutes, I think, and a lot of information.
Yes.
And we were supposed to discern whether it was the Stones you were talking about, or the Beatles, or Buddy Holly. There was all these hidden inferences.
What does I drove my Chevy to the levee? What does that mean?
I never understood. I thought it was just a cheesy rhyme.
The levee was...
Well, they were saying, this will be the day that I die. And you're like, well, so that's supposed to be like, That'll Be the Day by Buddy Holly? It's not that deep.
No.
Too little.
Seasons in the Sun?
Oh, that was my favorite song. So depressing, but I loved it.
Terry Pop,
we had joy,
me.
We had fun, we had seasons in the sun. And the hills that we climb were just seasons out of time.
The stars that we reached were just starfish on the beach.
What? Was everyone high in the 70s? I think so.
By Michelle, my little one. Oh, yeah. We used to listen to that one over and over.
That was my favorite song. That was my favorite song. My brother's was Smoke on the Water.
Oh, yeah. Smoke on the Water. Right. And then Alone Again, Naturally. That one went on and on. Oh, and he was going to kill himself, was it? Because his mother died or something?
Right.
I never quite got the plot to that one. Again. That was a story song that... Oh, Hurricane by Dylan. 75 verses.
Right.
Great song.
About Hurricane getting beaten. And yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There was just too many... Too long and too many syllables. Remember Billy Joe McAllister jumped out the Tallahatchie. Yeah. Really like depressing. Like a lot of really depressing themes.
People were always committing suicide.
Right?
Her baby, right? She had an unwed baby. That's what I always thought. That Billy, that she had a...
Yeah.
I just love the way Bobby Gentry sings that song. Because it's like she's... It's like it's 112 degrees in the studio or whatever. Another day, sleepy till the dust of the day. She can barely get it out. There was a virus going around. Papa caught it and he died last spring.
Wow.
Yeah. It was fantastic. Now, Mama doesn't want to seem to do much of
anything. Thud, thud, body fall.
And then, is there a dead baby falling into the river? I'm 11. Why is this happening?
Even some songs I thought were happy.
I'm
were
not
like,
ready for this.
Is that Robbie Benson?
Right. Oh, then the movie.
I forget what song it was I loved. Someone was like, no, that was about a father committing suicide. I was like, oh, Jesus.
There was a
really?
Lot of suicide.
Oy,
people
really?
Think we didn't deal with issues then. But we had Indian rights, we had gay rights, we had famous gay groups in the
70s. Half Breed.
Oh, hell. I sang it the other night. Half,
woo!
I'll never stop singing that song. Both sides were against me from the day I was born. My father married
Indian Reservation.
That one was really good.
Okay.
Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took up the issue of Indian rights. Yeah. And it says at one point... the tomahawk and the Bowie knife. And it's like, why was the Bowie knife part of your heritage? Wasn't that after white people came?
Absolutely.
Although I wear a suit and tie, I'm still proud red man deep inside. And you're like, I don't think Indians appreciated the song the way white people really did. I think white people had much more.
Tramps and thieves. I hear from the people.
How they call me
gypsies.
But every night all the men will come around
and lay the money down.
That one has teenage sex in it. Picked up a boy just south of Mobile, gave him a ride, filled him with a hot meal. I was 16, he was 21.
Oh, wow.
That's
rape!
The whole
it's rapey.
Rode with us to Memphis, and Papa would have shot him if he knew what he'd done. Rode with us to Memphis. That's a fucking great lyric. I'll defend that one to the death. I was 16, he was 21! Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, yeah. And we were like 12
Take that,
when that
Lady
song
Gaga.
We like,
all right.
Oh,
sing,
my God.
Sing a rape song about that, Lady Gaga. Yeah. It's okay in the 70s.
Yeah. It was. In the 70s, all bets were off. There was The one about the Timothy where they were caught in the cave and he ate his best friend. There was the Indiana Wants Me where the guy had shot his girlfriend and the cops were coming from him. There was like more trauma.
Right.
And what was the one where Helen Reddy with the Angie baby where the radio sucks the boy inside.
Right.
Like she doesn't have any dates and the guy comes over to her house and she throws it on him and he like freaks out and then he gets sucked into the radio and shit. Wow.
Was Zevon's Excitable Boy in that period?
Yes, it was.
That's another one.
Late 70s. That was 78. Yeah. And he kills his girlfriend and he makes a birdcage out of
it. All I ever wanted was for Tom Brokaw to sing Little Old Lady Got Mutilated Late Last Night.
Jennifer was telling me the other day how that song, The Werewolves, got written, and someone rang him. Someone rang Warren Zevon and went, I just read this story, and you need to write a song about it. And I can't, I'm going to die. I'm going to die before this show ends without remembering it. But on the night of 7/7 in London, and I was in Belgium the night the bomb blew off, and I was in London on 7/7. So I'm fucking good luck.
And do you have any alibis?
Stay close to me at all times. I lived through both. And, we were in Chinatown the night before. We'd done a show at the Comedy Store in London, and I remember being high and drunk and walking through Chinatown, and there's Lee Ho Fuchs, right? Because it's right in Soho in London, and it was raining. So we were walking through the streets of Soho in the rain, and there was Lee Ho Fuchs. And I went, he was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fuchs. Because Lee Ho Fuchs is right there, and we went to a place two doors down from Lee Ho Fuchs. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. And I couldn't stop singing it. And then the next morning, the whole shit broke loose, but I was like, the night before, you're walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. And you're,
right.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand.
Damn. See, this is probably why. Because we're all the same vintage, right? We're all the same. This is why, because these songs were so really traumatic. They're seared in our brains.
Completely.
Right.
So there's a song about a werewolf that eats someone's lungs out or whatever.
They'll take little, your lungs out,
Jim. That's right. I'd like to meet his tailor. I'll rip your lungs
out,
Jim.
His hair was perfect.
And his hair was perfect.
Rob, what other Greg Proops trivia am I missing? Because I know you are
We've covered a lot of the 70s songs now. And,
Well,
I played Keith Emerson the other night in Glasgow, and a lot of the people were like, Keith Emerson? Who's Keith Emerson? Except for the sound guy who was like, that was
Emerson
awesome
when you played that.
Because I played, welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. And I was like, and the crowd's like, what's happening? And I went, this was the 70s. They had organs, and it was this giant, pretentious thing. I can't make sense of it. Because I played a bunch of other songs. I played Led Zeppelin and the Ramones. Like, I was like, let me orient you. The Ohio Players were also happening then, but there was this other thing that was this orchestral bullshit, guys in leather pants with long hair.
Oh, my God, that power ballads were
on
fucking...
stage and gongs and shit.
Come on. Who cannot love Nights in White Satin? Everything was so...
I love that record.
It was a great record.
Drama queenie over the top.
So drama queenie. Cold-hearted orb through the night. Never reaching the end.
A lot of puffy shirts.
Yes, puffy shirts, very theatrical.
I had the Pet Rock and the Lava Lamp. And
the line from In and Out. Is everybody gay?
Yeah,
everybody seems like it. It seems like it.
And everybody danced on the funk. The other thing that was better, not better, because the past was never better. The past was more racist. The past was more misogynist. The past was more awful. There's no question the past was never gooder than it is now. However, what was gooder was... we had radio, and on the radio, there was a soul station, and then there were two or three top 40 stations in your market.
Right.
And the top 40 stations played disco music, funk music, soul music, white people music, heavy metal music, pop music, bubblegum music.
Right.
Like, they played all – and novelty songs, crazy novelty songs that only were a hit once for a minute, like Disco Duck or whatever. You know?
When I hosted Morning Drive on Hot 97, I remember Betty Boo doing the do.
Doing the do! Betty Boo!
And we're doing the do, that's the only words. See, that's what I'm saying. It was a reaction to the long story songs. It was only like one line over and over. Yeah.
She had such a groovy haircut.
Oh my God, Betty Boo was fucking doing the do, man.
Yeah. No, there was, but that was the difference. Now everything's by appointment, or you know, you have to curate your own thing, or they triangulate with Spotify or whatever those groups. But like in our day, if you listen to the radio, it would be the Spinners. Could it be I'm Falling in Love?
Yeah.
Followed by Elton John.
Yes.
Right? And then followed by Argent, Hold Your Head Up. Followed by Johnny Nash, I Can See Clearly Now. Followed by, right? Like, so you had this weird eclectic a mix of black and white music and all kinds of music. And then disco came right into the mix. No one hated it. It was only white guys who rebelled against it. Right. It was like disco was awesome. It was the music that all of a sudden gay people and Latins and women finally could fucking have careers.
Well, and as a
Bee Gees. And then the greatest big disco group is three white guys.
Yeah.
But as a feminist, what why were guys so what the singers in the 70s so wussy and whiny? Do you know what I'm saying?
There was, oh yeah, complaint. Right? Totally.
Just all of it. It don't matter to me.
Yeah.
If you really.
It don't matter.
Weren't they all? I can't even think of the other ones I'm thinking of. But, you know, just really whiny. Just.
I'm looking for a hard-headed woman.
Please. Please don't go.
Please don't,
go. Don't go.
I remember that one. Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Megan, please don't stay. Go.
Male pity was a winner. And. Always is. What was the one I used to do? Spending all my nights, all my money going out on the town. Mm-hmm. Baby, come back.
You can blame it all on me.
I was wrong. And I just can't live. And at the end. You. And I just can't live.
I live.
Yeah, that part was like.
Yeah, they were always. It was player. A lot of wuss rock.
Yeah, that was so wuss.
A lot of whining so and begging wuss. Set to music. Just
Pina Colada. I believe that was.
I like pina coladas.
Yeah. Can't live if living is without you.
I can't
you.
Live. Wow. Living is without you.
That
will
never
you.
Stop playing.
I can't.
Yeah. I think about 75 edits.
Jesus,
too.
Man off yeah. you.
Beautifully put together song.
Yeah. Yeah.
With scotch tape.
You just got to go man off you fucking
with
pussy.
Scotch tape on with giant half inch.
Binder clips.
Oh, yeah. Where you literally cut the tape and scotch tape it together.
Yeah. And it just comes out wuss. It's all taped.
Didn't Celine Dion do that one again?
Was it the 80s reaction to the wuss rock? Because the 80s was all macho kind of.
Well, then,
then
it's the girly boy, you know. I want to know what you're thinking. And then it's then it turns into like English, you know.
Flock of
and
seagulls.
And I ran so far away. Couldn't get away.
Couldn't get away.
What was the other one? We were thinking of the other night. Daytime. All I want is nighttime. All I need is daytime. The 80s are stronger than you remember, but very, very techno.
Yeah. Pat Benatar was my girl in the 80s.
Who was?
Pat Benatar.
Oh, yeah.
My girl.
Love is a battlefield. We are young.
And I fucking still need a lover that won't drive me crazy. Yeah. Ask them.
I need a lover that won't drive me crazy. Yeah, that was a fucking
I sang that with my radio station band in Rochester.
Did you really?
Pat Benatar, my friend, actually made Pat Benatar watch my cover version.
Ouch.
And it was a, sort of a look like a Springtime for Hitler kind of look. She's like, wow, well, oh.
I don't know, Mr. Bloom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go back. The whole play can't be this bad.
All the Stonies are dancing to the radio.
Yeah. Wow. Then there
I
was
got the world calling me.
Pat Benatar did that. What was it? Before I put another notch in my lipstick
in
case.
In my lipstick
right?
case.
She's keeping score like the boys were.
She's
shit.
A feminist, right?
Oh,
she was. She's
well,
very
those
like,
pants. Remember the leather trousers?
Yeah.
And she wore the pixie do.
Yes.
She went pixie do.
Rob knew her.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there were the
still on the road with her husband.
Oh yeah,
I know
Neil Giraldo, fantastic guitar player.
Yeah, I play casinos, and they're always out there.
Yeah, good people.
Yeah,
they're very nice people.
Oh, and they have the numbers. I mean, if you go to see her, there's going to be 10 songs in a row.
She had an amazing amount of hits.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
in a row,
absolutely.
Heartbreaker, dreaming, I know you're messing around with me. I'm up.
Your love is like a tidal wave.
And she still sings beautifully.
Hit me with your best shot.
That was the thing, like Linda Ronstadt. Pat Benatar had the voice.
Yeah.
She really did
she
have
She was
the voice.
Operatically trained.
Yeah. Like that was the difference between her and other pop singers. Pat Benatar could do the business.
Right. Yeah.
You're the right kind of singer to release my inner fantasy. The invincible winner. Which doesn't rhyme.
Nope. That's all right.
Grace Slick did it with no training.
Grace Slick is the greatest. She might be the greatest female rock star in a lot of ways. I mean, my wife is a huge Grace Slick fan.
People tell me I look like
her. I was going to say there's
like
an
now?
Element of Grace Slick
I was
about
like, now?
You. You know what it is? It's your eyes, Stephanie.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's your
it's
eyes.
True.
Grace Slick. Stick too. Grace Slick, her sister.
Grace Slick is different, yeah.
Not
Grace,
that we built this city, Grace.
No.
No.
But we did build
Grace Slick
city.
Was gorgeous, uncompromising. She slept with everyone in the band except Marty. And
but me too.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
There you are.
If you believe in miracles, yeah.
Grace Slick's an amazing singer. Mm-hmm. And what I love about her is she hung him up like, what, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
And went, and I remember seeing an interview with her, and they're like, why you don't go out? All the other guys go out. And she's like, because it's embarrassing. And they're embarrassing themselves. Yes. And I loved her for that. She was like, you know what? I'm going to stay at home.
You know who else I loved? Heart. My favorites.
Heart. Oh, yeah.
Aw.
Heartless. Heartless.
No, I liked all the shit. Bad Animals album. I like the deep cuts.
Burn. Barracuda.
Barracuda.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my wife's favorite one.
Yeah. Yeah, but what else am I thinking of?
That was their Zeppelin-y one.
Yeah.
I had Dreamboat Annie. I was we were watching a Transparent last night, and there was a Heart riff in it.
Yeah.
And I turned to my wife and I went, is this sad? For my 16th birthday, I was given Dreamboat Annie. And I was like, I wasn't sad. I dug it. What does she say? I bent down over a sweet flowing stream or something. You kept me alive with your sweet flowing love or something. Some lyric that's something fairly objectionable.
Sweet flowing love is beautiful. Yeah,
that sweet flowing love.
Beautiful.
Whoa.
Yeah, but what?
And you don't have to wonder you're doing fine, she says, because men always need their ego fucking dealt with, massaged.
True.
And my love, the pleasure's mine. I want to go crazy on you.
Okay, and now
that was this teenage girl of the 70s high school sex song where girls were like, look, I want you to.
And let me tell you one thing. I am single-handedly bringing back Taylor Dane to talk radio in my bumps because, you know what? The Great Dane, there ain't nothing you can say about that, right?
She was awesome. She did that duet with Barry White when they did Can't Get Enough. And Barry White. We've forgotten Barry White. How about his 10-minute fucking symphonies?
What's it, Your Heart? What is it with?
Damn it. I'm the only one.
Let my body rock. Wait. Tell me
I can feel my body rock. Heart. That's right.
I can feel my body rock.
I can feel my body rock.
Yes, yeah, that was it. Sorry.
Every time you call my name.
Ow!
And she walked in the paint.
Yes,
and then they
yes.
show her footprints yes. in the paint whenever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
hot. But we haven't touched on Greg's true religion.
Yes.
Baseball.
Oh. Uh-oh. Okay.
Surely this is over.
All right, well, it's almost over. Go ahead.
I want people to listen and not groan away. Okay. I think with the 70s music, we still have people that want to hear me.
No, people always want to hear
when
you.
We get to baseball, it's like, wow.
What's you have a passion.
Well, I love baseball, but I know he's a deep fan, so that's why
Listen,
he's saying
I like even Jock Jams, so I'm good I have both of those albums for my workouts.
Sure. As my friend James Holmes once said, I Get Knocked Down by Chumbawamba is the I Will Survive of straight guys.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Gay guys, I Will Survive is the national anthem of gay. And I Get Knocked Down from the 90s. What I love is that We Will Rock You by Freddie Mercury, who died of AIDS, is the number one Jock Jam of all time.
Yes, of course.
And I don't think people who listen to it receive
We Are the Champions. I love the whole fucking Jock Jams. I love all of it. I have all of them.
What else? I do too.
Yeah.
I love baseball. That's all. I'm a Giants fan from San Francisco, so LA people, get off my dick. And
Get off his dick. Get off Greg Proop's dick. That's his next CD.
We have three World Series in the last 5 years, so we're excited. I mean, but it took me.
Are you saying that you will rock them?
I will rock
the Giants.
I will
rock you. Yeah. Blood on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place. Good. That's like that's an American boy's dream. The whole
baseball
thing,
I'm a middle-aged white guy. That's all I have to explain it.
Yeah.
Also, my father, for all of our whatever tempestuousness in our relationship, the one thing he did do was take me to the ball game.
Yeah.
And I mean a million times. We went hundreds and hundreds of times.
Now we're into Cat Stevens.
Huh?
Now we're into Cat Stevens.
Yeah, we are.
Little boy blue and the man in the moon. Mm. When you coming home.
Are you sure that wasn't?
That's not Cat Stevens.
Oh, sorry.
Harry Chapin.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
You're close, though. You're so close.
Apologize.
It's almost the same.
Oh, very young. What will you leave us this time?
You're only dancing on this earth for a short while. I love Cat Stevens.
Me too.
He's so beautiful. And he's still beautiful. No, my dad.
I hope you're making a lot of nice friends out there. Just remember there's a lot of bad beware. Oh, baby, baby.
It's a wild world.
Okay. All right.
It's hard to get by like just upon a smile. Right?
Yeah.
That jam kills.
If you weren't married and I weren't gay, this would so be fucking happening tonight at
the problem
after party.
Is I'm married and you're gay. Whatever. But if we weren't, we would be
so fucking singing songs all night long.
Well, we may anyway.
We're still the 90s.
That's where we found the common ground.
The 90s young, and the smartest book in the world is the funniest book in the world, I'm told. And the smartest man in the world is the funniest podcast ever. I've started listening to it. Rob is the biggest fan ever. I've just started, and it's like crack. I'm addicted. Get it on iTunes. Smartest man in the world. Greg Proops, I am honestly, I'm just honored and thrilled, and I could not believe it. I was really like a little fucking fan.
Stephanie, this
bitch.
Show was more than I ever thought it would be. One, we covered politics, which I knew we would. But two, spending the last half hour singing 70s gems has made my life so much better than it was before.
Me too. Well, I didn't. My life couldn't get much worse. But listen, you have made it magic, Greg Proops, and I've been a fan back since Largo, way, way before.
And I'm a fan of yours.
Anyway, aw, thank you, baby.
You know, I've been in your house before, but only when John was here. So I actually knew where to park, and I barged my way in, and I didn't knock or ring the bell.
Good.
I actually stormed in the, and then your giant dogs came up, and they didn't bite me. And
you
I was
are
like,
home.
Hi, dogs, remember me? And they're like, yeah, yeah.
You are home, baby. You are
thank
family.
You.
I love you. Greg
thank
Proops,
you,
everybody. Greg Proops. Happy fucking happy
thank
hour.
You,
brilliant,
Stephanie
genius, man.